As I started to say, that the other thing that I asked my students was to speak in Spanish and not Chileno, because the only dictionary I had was Chileno, and they were really mad, rather surprised rather than mad. I believe they could have killed me, but they got along. They were quite respectful, and they attended class, and there was help at all times. Their system of education runs, as I said, more like the English, or the universities, rather, of Europe. And they have a completely different system than we do into there. I had a very excellent assistant that was given to me, who is now an instructor. And he happens to have been, his brother was a Catholic priest, and so he was the one that always told me of the politics so that I could understand the politics that was going on around the university students. And this, the year I was there, was the first time that this liberal arts, I call it, institution, always voted in the elections communist. But the only time they never did was this year. This time they voted the Social Democrat Party, which of course was my assistant's party, and he was quite a part of it as well, into it. The university never, when they come to collect all the votes, they collect it from all the divisions, the engineering, the medical, the legal, and the rest of them, and the communists never had won the whole election, but always on our campus. That was the only time that they were ever licked, was during the time I was there. That experience had another experience in the here, and that it was while I was teaching at the University of Chile, which is the National University of Chile, that I received, had to read the galley proofs of the first edition of our text. That was one of the most difficult things that I had, because I had nothing to check up with, nothing at all except my Spanish-English dictionary that I had. Among the many things, I did go to several embassies here in Santiago in order to check over, which they did help me, and found out some reactions to certain parts and certain chapters.
I'll be back.
Into it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
When you were working in the archives, was it hard to retrieve information, or were they pretty
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I had several difficulties there, and I was very appreciative of my superior professor, who has a good reputation. I'll think of his name yet, Avoyo. He just died about last year. I saw him in this country twice after I left the country too. And he was quite a historian, and had three or four jobs as well. And the men at the archives let me see what I wanted. But there was a fight between the archives and the Foreign Office, and therefore that was the reason why I was caught in between. And more than once, my professor had to go down there. He knew the men in the Foreign Office, and he got. Also, I had another problem. The problem was the question of when I got through with all my own note-taking and so on, that I wanted to microfilm the consular correspondence. Well, now that created another question, that he insisted on my having to get permission. Not only permission, but I also had to bring in, because they have no facilities in the bibliothèque at that time for it. So I had to go to the university audiovisual, and that I did. And they put up their brought in their lights and everything else. I had a tremendous amount of work. I got all the permissions that I had into there, had all the indications, and they were doing that work chiefly in the Christmas holiday when Ms. Nasty and I were traveling into there. In the midst of my travels, my assistant wrote me a letter saying that they stopped them and stopped the boys into there, which got me mad. And sure enough, I had to bring in again my professor with his big clout, and he had the clout. He got it, and I got what I wanted out of that, finally.
Were you working on California?
Yes, sure. Yes. That's the Chilean consuls in California. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, all that stuff. As I told you before, I'm sure, more than once, I have all the materials I've tried, and in the rarer articles even, I used to have a copy of them because I couldn't get Xerox at that time. I used to copy some myself, bought some of the magazine where I could, and tried to keep up with all the few books that they had that came out, and all of the literature that's come out in our country since. I've got it all ready for anybody that, if I can get somebody, some student. You have to know Spanish a little bit there. I'll be glad to help them out, to work it out. But the whole Chilean correspondence, I've got it here. Up to 1860.
Would the correspondence be written in a pure Spanish than they use now?
Oh, yes. No, it's more the 19th century, but the question in Spanish is not a difficult.
No,
it's archaic at times, but it's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. Most of the official documentation is not hard to read. Sometimes the innuendos that they want to bring in there are when they're writing some letters, but the language is not hard because of being more formal.
Mm-hmm.
And so that isn't the problem. Sometimes they use words that have meanings a little bit different, and we do use an older dictionary rather than the modern one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a serious problem at all.
Was there a Jewish community in Santiago?
There was, and there still is.
Mm-hmm.
Community, yes, I was close to them.
Were these
quite divided there between your nationalities? The Hungarian had their famous club and kosher restaurant that I used to attend most of the time with them, but the Germans had their own synagogue, and so did some of the others. The only thing that got them together was in the sports and in the young kids. That is all for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a good one then at the time. They were getting along fine at that time, but since that time they've had some trouble from the governments that have come in.
Were they mostly Europeans from World War II?
Yes, most of them came. Most of them came from World War II. Yes, that's true, the Hitler ones, but there were some that came from World War I.
Oh.
Yeah, they came into there. Oh, yes. The Germans were the stronger group at the time. And they probably still are, although they're having... There was no anti-Semitism down there open when I was there. There has been quite a bit.
Mm.
And a number of the Jews have left.
Wow.
Oh, yes, from both there and Argentina, where they've had some trouble. A good many of them have gone. During this time, I was on, of course, leave of absence from here, and my experiences in Chile certainly buoyed this up, both for teaching purposes as well as for my research works, because it was right after we came back in 1960 when most of my books were formed, most of my honors given to me, among other honors, as I'm just thinking of them offhand without regard to chronology, is I was selected here in 1977 to Phi Alpha Phi, the General Honor Society, and last year I was elected a Phi Beta Kappa. on this campus. That's here. Of course, I was given many other honors. I was given book awards from both the California Historical Society, from the Western History Society, and from the Congress of History as well here, and the San Diego Historical Society, all the books and awards of merit I've received, all, at least some of them, most of them. The most outstanding one, of course, is the Henry R. Wagner one that I got in California History in 1974.
Did you know Dr. Wagner?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Although this has Henry Wagner, whom Mr. Colston is now writing about into here, was a book really dealer, but an amateur historian, not a, friend, he was an engineer, as a matter of fact, a mining engineer, where he made his money, and in Chile too, by the way. And I believe that's where he became the a book collector and seller. It's his collections that were sold to Yale University, to the University of Texas, and the Huntington Library as well. But he was living in Berkeley and doing a lot of work into there. And when I did my honors in history for my bachelor's degree, I did it on James Ohio Patty, and we had two editions in Berkeley, and Wagner had two other editions. And I went up to Mr. Wagner at that time in Berkeley, and he invited me in, went down to the bank, took out the other two editions, let me compare them, and I've always been a friend of his ever since. He on many occasions has wrote me and asked me for advice every once in a while, especially when he was down in Huntington, or in San Marino, where he spent most of his later life. And Mrs. Axe, I've also helped and had correspondence with Henry Wagner and them, both of them. Oh yes, I've known them. Well, this is the Henry Wagner and a few of the other rather wealthy boys reactivated the California Historical Society, oh, about 2021, right around the early 20s, and made it into an almost exclusive set of amateurs, good amateurs too, and holding it down practically to the gold rush period,
yeah,
and to the conquest period into there. It's since most of them now have died off, this become far more public. It's still bureaucratic, fairly many respects, but the California Historical Quarterly has become a very, very important historical periodical.
Mm-hmm.
As there's a standard, they've published many, many articles of mine, and this old group of whom I took over the French and first published the French correspondence that I brought over into that, which fit right into
perfectly.
That. Oh, perfectly right into that. That's how I got in with Carl Wheat and Wagner and with the rest of the boys who were the real leaders, and George Harding, who became my friend many years later, and of course the directors whom I knew as well during that time, who still know, as a matter of fact. But that generation is gone. With regard to other, I don't think there's almost any Jewish or other or historical honors that I haven't got, of one kind or another, locally that is. Been too many on the national boards, except for the historical societies. I was, as you can see, I was quite busy in the 60s publishing.
When you got back from Chile, just being gone 1 year, did you notice any change in the mood of the students or the campus?
It began to change right afterwards.
Right after you got back?
Oh, yes. Yes, early 60s. That's when the 60s started, and it never got so bad on this campus as it did. That's the time of the revolution. It began on the Berkeley campus with the invasion of the East on the West Coast, which always has done that, and started us all. They tried to do the same things here on the campus, but they never got up into that hard class, but we had, and the effects were strong on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, there were quite a number of effects of the student revolution that occurred.
You could feel that in the classroom?
Oh yes, and also among certain of the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes. See, there's been a difference of it. We older faculty members always kept our respect all the way through. We never gave in to certain formalities of respect and dressing. But that did come after the war with the students. It began in the 50s, but it really hit hard with the student in the 60s. And that's when this loose living and loose teaching and loose activities and all kinds of student revolutions were occurring. As I said, they never got so mischievous on this campus as they did in others. They did have as big effect on some of the curriculum movements that did occur, that I hold responsible for it. But as I've said many, many times, I've seen student rebellions, I've seen student actions, and I've always played along with them on a low profile, knowing that they were all pass over and all get through. But this has a new one and a new twist since World War II, and more particularly Vietnam. And that's the drug.
Drug culture.
And the drug coming in is something that has a dreadful effect upon the generations to come as well as our own. And that has bothered me and still bothers me very much among the students. Nothing up to that time did. Not even the revolt in education, which I thought sometime might turn back, which I believe is at the present time, but it will never turn all the way back. But because we're getting the results of it now, it's bound to happen. I don't know what else.
I was going to ask you some questions. I don't know if it's
I wish you would. Go right ahead.
Too early to bring this in, but I was really curious about your involvement in the research that you did in Old Town. I know that's the middle 60s, if you don't mind jumping in.
I'm just trying to think now. Oh, I'd be glad to tell you about that. That's in the local thing.
Now, I know that the city council and the mayor had requested
Lionel and I to make a survey of it. Yes, we did. That is of the square.
Mm-hmm.
Of the square. And I did the research on the main. I went to Berkeley twice during that time, too, as well. But Lionel is the one that actually put down the locations which they were interested in knowing what were the limits of each one of which of the old houses.
Do you know what got the city initially interested in Old Town?
I'm trying to think of it. There's some good reason for it. I think this goes back to Poo Rod, in a sense, because Poo Rod, when he began his story of history, came to me and wanted to know something about it. And I still take some pride in in instilling in Poo Rod some of the instincts of a professional historian. He himself is a writer and a reporter, and has a hankering, and a good hankering, for telling a story. But he had no idea of what it required until I tried to tell him what the new stuff would be and what the best things were doing. And incidentally, in the first three or four volumes of that thing, I went over each one of the chapters for him and made a lot of suggestions, and I think helped a good deal, and became a good friend of Poo Rod's ever since. And Poo Rod has been behind the city in that. But it's the Old Town group. And there were two groups at the time. There's the city group, and then there's the county group. I think they're both in existence for a while. And what?
I was
thinking county days, that's one. And the school, and incidentally, you know, as Ben Dixon started, or had to do with the school down there on Mason Street.
Historical Days Association.
Yeah, Day School. He's the one that started that, and the O'Neills have kept it up until then. I don't know who's doing it right this minute.
It's the name of the group, San Diego Historical Days Association.
That's right.
A guy named William Parker, Bill Parker.
Bill Parker. I went over it. Well, sure. They're keeping it up into there. And they've, since the state has taken over Old Town, they've broadened out the thing. But we had a park commission, I think, for a while.
Mm. I was thinking maybe their concern started with the freeway, and it crossed right over where the Casa de Lopez was. If the locals had a concern for the fact that Old Town was...
I've forgotten that. I'll try to think of it before next time, if I can think of it, and I can get into it, because I just noticed I had the pile of stuff on that we developed from that is all together in a big folder that the city came in for it. I think that has to do with the City Park Commission at the first, which had to do with it. And remember that I was on the county or the, and the city markers for quite some time, and we used to meet, but that was really for markers or something. That had something to do with asking me, in a way.
I know one of the Native Sons groups is trying to take over that, the idea of putting the historic markers around the...
Oh, well, of course, I've been a member of the Native Sons for, still am.
A local parlor here?
Oh, sure. I don't attend the meetings, but I pay them the dues every year. For many, many years, so sure.
Yeah, they're trying to keep keeping out the plaques and raising money to put out plaques.
Oh, yeah. We've done that for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I've been close to that group for a long time, and I used to be very, very active in them, but I've not lost interest. I just had too many other things after I started to go leave the country for a while. I think it was, that's when I started. But old Mayor Hoffer is the one who got me into the Native Sons, and way back, and, I don't think I was here more than a year.
Oh, sure. So did you and Dr. Ridout divide doing the research, or did he do more of the...
Well, he was doing more of the actual
deeds
and things and the local things, and I was doing the background and most of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that actually... drew the
figures of where the houses might have been.
That's right. Yeah. And I was getting him the data and bringing it down to him.
What kinds of things did you find at Berkeley?
We found several of the narratives. I got some microfilm, and still got it in the office. There are several of them. Not the Bandini as much as I was working on two of the three of the others.
Did you draw off of Hayes?
What?
Benjamin Hayes's work?
Well, we used it, oh, yeah. Sure. And looked into his notes, too, as right. Well, up there. But there's another one that I got as part of his journal and published a little bit of it.
Romero?
Romero. And one other, too, that we had in there. We were down there quite a number of times, of course, over there working. But I think that was the park commission, and we were in the city, is the one that paid for it.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
How long did you work on that? About a year?
Just about.
I don't know.
Yeah, just about. No, it's a little less than that, I guess. But just a little less than a year.
Mm-hmm. Now, they were interested, I noticed, in just the plaza area.
That's all we were. Mm-hmm. And I told them that we were required going back to go beyond us, and we were required going back to Seville and Mexico and a few other things, which is a real... To broaden it out would require a tremendous
right.
amount of work. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. That was... I was going to ask you a few more questions about Perrott. Then, did you sort of send him up to Berkeley to start working on...
Well, he hired me and sent him over.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Budget was probably... pretty good. They probably had a pretty good budget.
Oh, Copley gave him all he wanted. Sure, he was there, but that's all he was doing. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. I don't know if you're right. Had a staff and an office. I used to go up every once in a while. I don't see him in his office yet. He was a hard worker. Oh, and very jumpy at times, of course. But, I take some pride in putting some basic history behind him, although not teaching in the sense of formal class.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
They have an exhibit right now up at the Sarah Museum.
Of Perrott's work?
Yeah, it's small, some small panels and stuff.
Well, he did a lot of work, and he also took over a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
One of the girls, I did that. I think that was one of the last things that I did with Perrott, was to take her, who was the girl that wrote on her master's thesis on Borrego?
Oh, Diana.
Diana, whatever her name
Spencer.
Is.
Spencer.
Whatever it was. Anyway, I was the one that brought her work to the attention of Perrott. Perrott.
Published.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I think that sort of, it was those early days of the 60s that got local history going again.
Well, local history was going because of what we were doing for quite a while. Don't forget that.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes. When we started our graduate work into there, Louis Leslie started on local.
That's right.
Oh, there's no question about it.
His students did Whaley and Morris.
Some of them were mine. Oh, yes. There's no question. We did that. We did it for a variety of reasons. Chief among them is that we had the beginnings to make, of materials,
mm-hmm.
local materials that we could get at
mm-hmm.
During the period. And there are many reasons why we got after it along that line.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We've always had local people working. I always did in the seminar. I had somebody mm-hmm. working on the local.
Now, did Lewis's interest in the local research stem off of his railroad?
Oh, sure.
Work?
See, he started out, as I told you years ago, I'm sure I did.
Right.
And right next to me, we both started our graduate work. But he couldn't take some of the rigors of the work, and so he didn't follow out his program. And he had to pick up another topic, and that's the topic he picked up, which is based on chiefly United States documents and other things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
That he did in the final thing.
Was that ever published? Do you remember?
Yes, most of it were published in article form.
In articles.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, there 4 or 5 articles of it. Most of it was done. Oh, sure. Yes. He also had a book out that he thought he had to do, which was on the camels, Uncle Sam's camels, which is really an editing, nothing to it, and he paid for that at Harvard. That's a different proposition.